Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley, and I'm excited. We're going to talk about money today and wealth. So a couple quick announcements before we get started. Head over to the links in the show notes. You're going to find a lot there. You'll find ways to connect with my lovely guests. You'll find ways to connect with me on social media through my website. You'll find a link to my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It was endorsed by Bob Doyle, Marcy Shimoff, Michael Beckwith, all of whom were on The Secret. It's also endorsed by Anita Morjani and John Gray and many others in the personal development and spiritual realm. You'll find links to my courses, to free downloads, to ways to work with me, to ways to sponsor the podcast. And as always, this podcast is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. We're doing a lot in the personal development sphere. All the other podcasts are amazing as well, so come connect with us.
What if the one thing keeping you stuck is the way you think? Welcome to Change Your Mind with Chris Ashley, the podcast where science meets spirituality and mindset becomes your most powerful tool for transformation. I'm Chris Ashley, author of Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality, trainer, speaker, and lifelong seeker. For years, I battled trauma, depression, anger, chronic illness, low self-worth, and the weight of old stories. Until I discovered how to rewire my mind, reconnect with my divine nature, and consciously create a new reality from the inside out. This show is here to help you do the same. Each week, we explore the intersection of personal development, spirituality, and science, diving into topics like healing, emotional mastery, entrepreneurship, resilience, and the quantum nature of reality. You'll hear powerful stories, gain practical tools, and real conversations that will help you change your perspective, get unshakable confidence, and live the vision your soul has always known is possible. Whether you're navigating a major life shift, building your dream business, or seeking deep healing and alignment, you're in the right place. So if you're ready to break through, take back your power, and create a life on your terms, this is your moment. Let's break free from the patterns that hold us back, awaken to who we truly are, and rise. Your transformation starts now.
All right, so with me today, I have Julie Murphy. Julie is a Chicago-based certified financial planner and founder and CEO of JMC Wealth Management, Inc. Julie received her BS in finance from the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana and her MBA from the University of Notre Dame. With 25 plus years in the financial services industry, Julie and her team have successfully served thousands of clients throughout the U.S. and abroad. Julie has adapted all the critically important financial and life planning aspects. She also has her own approach, which is really unique. She works with clients to uncover their relationship to their assets. Her time-tested program, which she calls PACT, P is for picturing yourself, A is for accepting reality and awakening, C is for choosing to change, T is for taking action. We are going to get along really well. That's transformed countless clients' lives. So awesome. Welcome, Julie. I'm happy you're here.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we were just talking in the green room. We're both Chicago girls, so I love it. I was really connected with people from the Midwest. So I always start off my episodes the same way, and that is by asking my guests what their origin story is. So I think for yours, I'd rather you tell a little bit like what's your origin story in terms of creating your own program, because it probably would have been easy to just be a financial planner.
Pardon my French. Yes, for sure. You know, I didn't grow up with money. I'm the second oldest of 12 children. So I didn't have money growing up. And so I learned to become income affluent through my education and jobs. And certainly being a financial planner helps the income affluence piece. But there's a difference between income affluence and asset affluence. And that I find that that difference is really how a person's emotional infrastructure is actually set up. And it all starts before you're 7 years old and what hardwires into your amygdala, and then how you act out, whether it's through your money, your health, or your relationships. And my origin story was that I've just gone on this journey in my own life in terms of learning to not only create wealth, but amass wealth. And then how do you then keep it without creating leaky containers where it drains out the back door? Because you're not authentically being yourself as you plug into the world. And so that is what all of my work is based on. And we all just need to, what I like to say, let your freak flag fly and be exactly who you are and don't apologize for it. And then more money comes, more love comes, more opportunities, and more happiness.
I love that. And that's the end of the episode. That's all you need. no, thanks for sharing that. 12 kids. Wow. That's a lot of kids. My mom had like 6 in her family. I always think that's a lot. It's like double. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah. I just hosted Christmas this year and there was 70 people at my house. It was quite fun. We do, actually. You know, my mom died last March, and one of the compliments that we got was, wow, you all collaborated. Like, there were no fights, no nothing. And that's a testament to our mom. She really, she allowed us all to be the individuals that we are and respecting each other for being different, not trying to convince somebody else to be like you, because then that makes you feel more comfortable. Mom would let you be exactly who you were meant to be on the planet. And so that kind of leaked over to everybody else. And it's partially what I teach.
That's really cool. So how did you go from not having a lot of wealth to amassing wealth? What did that journey look like for you?
Well, certainly along the way, you know, we have in our industries, both of ours, you know, find a mentor or, you know, feel the feelings of creating being a millionaire so that you can become a millionaire, right? We all know that from the Law of Attraction, The Secret. And I mean, back when The Secret came out, I literally kept a trunk full of them in my car and would pass the movie out to people all the time. And it was because, wow, this really, there's a piece of this, like going, if you can vibrate, if you will, if your frequency is of that frequency, then you can manifest it. The trick is that, well, if you've never been that frequency before, how do you know what that is? Right. And so for me, it was about finding people who are already of that level or that frequency. Like for being a woman in finance, when I first started in the industry, there wasn't hardly any women. It was 1% women. Today, it's 12% women, you know, but that's 30 years later, we went up 11%. Right. And so through that journey, it's about finding those. So I found a woman in finance who was a financial planner who had it all. She had the marriage, she had the kids, she had a successful business. And then I modeled things off of her. And I would say that I tweaked it to be Julie style over time, but that had to come in the package of me choosing to be different than anyone or anybody else. Right? Like not be a man in finance, but choose to be myself in finance. And that meant breaking some rules. And so you have to be comfortable breaking some of the rules that have been put in place already.
So did you ask her if she would mentor you, or did you just kind of like watch from a distance?
Oh no, I asked her. Okay. I was very direct. I was like, you've been there, done that. And how do I do this? And then after finding her, then you find other women and then you take a little bit from each part. And, you know, I had mentors that were men too, because, you know, we all have divine masculine and divine feminine energies. Every human has that. And so it's about how do you balance that within yourself, you know? And, you know, so if in business and in finance, if you're too masculine, well, you're going to forget, you know, the masculine is more of our minds. And so if I am only using my mind to logically talk to you about finance, well, then I'm forgetting the most human part of you, and that's your heart. And so my industry is full of a lot of smart left brainers that completely forget about the human component, which is the human heart, which is why I wrote my first book, The Emotion Behind Money, because we really need to integrate that into our financial planning process, because every human has a heart, and what's going to create sustainable happiness for you over time in your life, which is the most important part.
So if you're to give advice to someone who's struggling with their finances right now and is like, okay, and like, you know, maybe they're listening to podcasts like this, right? So they're already kind of on the journey. They're like, okay, sure. I'm creating vision boards. I'm trying to like visualize my goal. I got to find a mentor. Like, how do they incorporate their heart, and like what first steps do they take, or what next steps do they take?
Well, one of the biggest things is that you've got to recognize where you're projecting out your own shame, blame, guilt, or judgment around money. Mm-hmm. Because lower vibrating emotions, and all you have to do is read Joe Dispenza's book, you know, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and Creating a Whole New Mind. His book talks about the frequency and vibration of emotions. And if you have shame, guilt, blame, judgment around your financials, well, that's the first thing you need to shift. And watch the words that come out of your mouth and the thoughts that run through your head, because all of those are vibrations that are then creating your tomorrow. So there's an acceptance piece, which is why this is the second step of the process that I have clients walk through, is that you have to accept your current reality. It's no different than if you want to create new in your life, you have to clean out your closet. You have to create space. Well, you have to create emotional space by accepting the financial reality that you have today. It's amazing that in that acceptance, you release that shame, blame, guilt, and judgment. And then it gives you space to go, okay, here's my reality. I may not like it, but it is what it is. So now how do I clean up my financial past, which are your debts, while I'm trying to still live in the present moment, which is your cash flows, money going in your checking account, out your checking account, and then also plant the seeds for the future that you want to create. Most times what people do when they're trying to get their financial world in order, they say, okay, I'm going to go after and I'm going to pay off this debt and I'm going to get it ready. The problem is if you understand that money is energy and all you energize is putting your energy towards paying off a debt, guess what's the only thing you're going to recreate?
Debt.
Because that's all you're focusing on. So it's about cleaning up your past while also living in the present moment and being happy today, then also planting the seeds for the future. If you choose to not have that balanced, then what happens is you're just going to recreate your struggling patterns. And so it's really important to start to shift your paradigm a little bit to look at it as the whole kahuna, as opposed to just a silo of what's going on in your world. Because in my second book, Awaken Your Wealth, I talk about that people are, I categorize them in there's the poor, debtors, dreamers, and accumulators. And every one of those, the poor, debtor, dreamers, or accumulators, think that once they amass all the money, then they'll be happy. But that's who I call rich but empty. Because they haven't created sustainable happiness because they built it on the wrong foundation. They built it on the foundation of the rejection or trauma before you became 7 years old. And so, because you have to, even if you're a debtor today and you struggle with going in and out of debt, or you're somebody that tap dances between, I accumulate some, but then I have to pay off some debt, and then I accumulate some, and then I have to pay off some debt. That's a dreamer. That if you're in one of those roles, you can have sustainable happiness in each, wherever you are at that moment in time. And that's a choice. In your reality, you can choose or not choose to be happy. And happiness actually then creates more money, more love, more opportunities, because you're vibrating at a higher level. And we are that powerful. And we have to understand that we have that much power as an individual. And that's where I really start to have people look at it a little bit differently, because I'll tell you, I have those multimillionaires that are rich but empty, and they get there and they're going, I don't feel the way that I thought I would feel now that I have all the money.
Yeah.
And then you're redesigning their life again because they built it on the wrong foundation.
So is the acceptance piece about building it on the right foundation? Like, how do you know what your foundation is? Like, where do you even get started here? Because,
right,
you know, I know plenty of people who are happy in the present moment, but they're just lacking in their finances. So is it more about trying to figure out what foundation they're on?
I think it's about, well, it's also about choosing what you want to create. Like, some people might be very happy. Like, I know people who make $40,000 a year and they're very happy and they're content and they're okay with that kind of a life, right? But often what you see is that people are striving for happiness in something outside of themselves as opposed to the happiness from within.
Sure.
Right? So we think of it like when you're spending on credit cards. How many people wind up with a spending hangover in January after the holidays?
Right.
all that is you're emotionally processing what's unresolved within yourself when you're spending more than what you actually have. And you're trying to find happiness through that spending or giving to others and you don't keep enough for yourself, or doing for others and not doing enough for yourself. See, we have this pattern in our society where it's like, it's this or it's this, as opposed to an and, meaning you can do what you want for others and your company and everything else, but most of us negotiate ourselves away on some level. And we need to stop negotiating ourselves away, because you are just as important as everybody else that you're helping. And usually we don't do that self-love and self-care at the same level we do for others. And there's, you know, many reasons, from people's upbringings in religion or communities or cultures, that has created that. But it's systemic.
Yeah, totally. I agree with everything you're saying. So how does someone start to, what if they're like, okay, I understand I'm trying to get happiness from money. Like, so much of me is like, I'll be happy once I, because for a lot of people, it's a reality, right? They're like, you know, my power is getting shut off, or, you know, whatever, like I can't take my kid on vacations and I want to give them a better life, you know? So how does someone stop that like happiness reaching and really start to practice that self-care and cultivate that happiness in the present?
So for an example, like people will say to me, well, I want to give this opportunity for my kids and take them on a vacation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, what savings account do you have set up that is intended for that vacation? They go, I don't have a savings account for vacations. Going, that's where it starts. And people go, I don't have any extra money to actually do that. I'm like going, okay, well then the next pay raise you get, even if it's only a 3% cost of living raise, take 1% of it and you pay off more of your past. You take 1% of it, you live in the present moment and create that vacation fund. So that money just siphons into a savings account every single month for vacations. And then 1% goes to building your wealth for the future. That a lot of times people don't see how they can pivot or change with current reality. But when you get what I call newfound money, and that could be a pay raise, a bonus, an inheritance, maybe you paid off a debt like a car or a student loan. Those are all opportunities that you now have open cash flow, or you have an open piece. The key is to make sure that that money is then funding your intentions to pivot more in the direction of what it is that you want to create. Because let's take an example. People say to me going, well, I didn't get that big of a raise. It was only 150 bucks this month. I'm like going, but that's where you start. Because if you don't do something different than you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. So even though it's only 50 bucks more to put into a vacation fund, you're putting 50 bucks into your debts, 50 bucks into vacation fund, and 50 bucks to your future. Well, that's where you can start. And people will say, okay, well, then that's going to give me 600 bucks by the end of the year. Going, okay, well, then try to find what it is that you want to do with 600 bucks that feels good and more than what you've done before, so that you can start to raise your vibration to feel like you're doing something different. So that way you can attract more of what your heart's desire is. Because a lot of us don't realize, I don't know if you talk at all about heart math, but you know,
I
love heart math. And the human heart magnetizes for over 8 miles, whereas the mind is only 2 feet. So if you're not activating your heart in your financial plan, and activating the biggest magnet on the planet, you're missing out. It's because you want to magnetize more of what you desire as opposed to less. So we have to tap into that heart. And I know, like, when I got divorced, I didn't realize through the years of how much I negotiated myself away to manage my ex-husband's anxieties. You know, many people have someone else in their world where they're just trying to manage around the personality of somebody else, right? Could be a boss. Could be a sibling, parent, spouse, kid, whomever. So mine was my ex. I didn't realize how much that I dumbed myself down just to make my house manageable. And when I released and decided to get divorced and go, okay, I can't do this anymore, it was unbelievable, because everybody reverts back to themselves. My company is now 5 times the size it was when I got divorced 8 years ago. Because I got rid of an energy that was actually holding me back from being more of who I am. And that's not good or bad, and it's not a knock on my ex. Actually, our divorce, he says, was the best thing that ever happened to him because he got to be more of himself too. Because I'm an achiever and I'm a mover and a shaker. Well, he just wants to sit at home and drink his coffee and tea in the morning and just read a book. Where I'm a pusher, shover, accomplisher, you know, two different ends of the spectrum, you know? And we didn't realize that, oh, that didn't really serve either of us. And so when we start to let go of, this is also part of creating this space, you know, not only financial space like we talked about, but creating space in relationships, creating space with all the crap that's sitting in everybody's closets, right? Financial space is get rid of all those debts. We don't realize how much our financial clutter is because we're stuck in all of our past choices from having the debts that we have accumulated. It gives you a lot less freedom in life.
Yeah, I love everything you said, and especially with the heart math thing. So how do we tap into our heart? You know, let's say that someone's cleared out their debt, but they have a dream, they're working towards it, it's not happening yet. Like, how do they tap into their heart so they can become that greater magnet?
Right. So kind of tying back into my divorce is that after my divorce, I would like walk around the house and I was tapping my heart going, what do you want? What do you want? Because when I ignored it for 17 years that I was with this person, it was like, what do I want? It's like I almost had to wake myself back up again going, and I thought all along I was following my heart. And it was interesting because all of a sudden I was like, oh, I think I want to do this. Oh, I think I want to do that. And then you pivot your financial world to fund those things. And it was funny, like one of mine was to travel more. He was afraid to fly on airplanes, so we didn't fly anywhere. You know, and the only time I was flying anywhere was for a business meeting. And I was like, oh, I traveled the world when COVID happened. I was all over the damn place. I was in Costa Rica and Sedona, all kinds of places. And because I love to travel. So my travel budget is big, but it didn't start big. It started with where I could based on my current reality of my cash flows. And then I just have chose to grow it as my business has grown. And so you really, if you really are not in tune with your heart, like seriously, you can just tap your heart and go, okay, what do you want? What do you want? And if you keep asking the question, what eventually happens is you'll get a hit going, oh, and I always tell people, you know, your heart is activated when it makes you giggle. So people will call me and say, well, what's the smart financial move? I'm like, well, which one makes you giggle more? And they go, what? And people don't even connect to that on so many levels because they're like, what do you mean? Well, which is the smart one? I go, well, they can both be smart, but which one makes you giggle more? Because if it activates your heart and it makes you giggle, it's in alignment with you, and then you will manifest more because of it.
So it's about that thing that like makes you feel energized, right? You're yep. Like, oh, this is like giving me those full body tingles. And
yeah. And you're like, I got to do this. And that little girl, little boy in you gets activated and you're like, I can't get this smile off my face to save my life. Like, let's do this. And what we all do is we pull it to our brain and then we try to evaluate if it's smart or not. Don't do that. Whether it's smart or not smart, follow the giggle, because then the smarts will come into play afterwards, how it all navigates.
It reminds me of like what Bashar says. He always talks, mm-hmm. about, I'm trying to think of the wording he uses, but it's like, follow your highest passion, right? Or whatever right. choice yep. at that moment like makes you feel the most excited. Follow your excitement, I think is what he yep. said.
Yep.
So it's like the same kind of idea. So I want to talk about, I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, let's talk about like how money is energy. So if someone thinks about money being energy, like how do they work with that? Like if someone understands that, like how do you manipulate that energy to your favor?
Right. So the first thing is that I always tell people, take the word budget completely out of your vocabulary. Okay. And the reason I say that is because how does it make you feel when I say the word budget?
Like restricted.
Right. And who likes to feel restricted? It makes you feel right. With think of your nervous system that leads up to your pineal gland, which is in the center of your brain. Think of that as the light at the top of your lighthouse that's going to like attract everything that's coming to you. If your nervous system is hijacked and you contract because of like a budget, you are turning down and dimming your lighthouse. So you want to stay in an expanded state. So I always tell people, how do we shift our perspective on our money to come from a more empowered state than a contracted state? So for an example, going, don't say the word budget, say, you know, here's where my cash is coming in from my job. Here's where my money's going out with my expenses. And now what do I choose? Because everything is a choice. Now people go, oh, like I can choose my car bill, my student loan, I got all these things going out, going, they're all choices. Now they might be tough choices, but if you go to the place of victim mentality, then all of a sudden you're victim the system, you're stuck in the matrix, and now you're not getting out of financial jail to save your life because you've chose to align with scarcity and victim as opposed to a place of empowerment and choice. So you have to understand what is your mindset on that. And so if you start to see yourself going into scarcity and stuff like that, which are habitual patterns for people, right? And you start to go, huh, well, how do I want my cash to actually flow? Because money is energy. How do I want it to flow like a river? Right? And then start to make those choices. So for example, a real practical example of this is, think about, most of us are going to buy another car someday, right? Unless you're in your 80s, maybe not, right? So you're going to buy another car. When that car payment is done, you have $500 a month going out the door for a car payment, okay? But now you're waking up every day to pay somebody else and you're paying juice on it with interest. So you're working for somebody else. Now, when that car payment is done, most people have that money monthly already spent on the next thing, but I'm going to challenge you to redirect your financial energy to a place of more empowerment. It's time to become your own bank. So take that $500 a month, and let's say your car payment drafted out of your checking account on the first day of the month. Well, now I want on the first day of every month that you create a whole separate savings account. And there's tons of online savings accounts that you can call Car Fund, New Car Fund, and have that $500 a month on the exact same day. Just go into a savings account that's not mixed with anything else, that's only for your next car purchase. And that's how you interrupt your patterning. Now, there will be part of you that somewhat feels uncomfortable with that. There's part of you, because when you start to go from income affluence to more asset affluence and become your own bank, you're going to have feelings that are stuck in your physical body that happened before you were 7 years old that are going to come up. And the only way to the other side is to allow those feelings to come up and feel them so you can release the energy, because emotions are energy in motion and they're stuck in your cellular structure, and we got to get rid of them, or that's what creates disease over time in your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love this. Like you said, it's so much of what I teach as well, but I don't focus as much on the money piece. And it's so cool to hear it about the money piece.
Well, it's what makes the world go round.
What's that?
It's money's what makes the world go round.
Yeah. And you know, so many people have just so many preconceived notions on money that, you know, I'm sure you've seen it all.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was told money doesn't grow on trees growing up. And now
Right. It's like, where's that story? Where's that money story? Right. Where is it? And then what do you want it to be?
Totally. So I want to talk about your program PACT. So it's picturing yourself, accepting reality and awakening, choosing to change, taking action. So can you walk me through each of those pieces again? And we might have like touched on some of them, but just like in a cohesive order would be helpful.
Absolutely. So we all have to have a compelling reason for change. Otherwise, we're going to repeat the patterns, right? Mm-hmm. Why get up in the morning and change something if you're not dreaming the new dream? That's why picturing the life that you want to create is the most important part. People will come into my office and I'll say, okay, if we are sitting here 3 to 5 years from now, what would you like to see happen in your life? And they all sit there and they go, what do you mean, financially? Everybody says that. And I go, I don't care if it's money or not. What do you want? No one ever talks about the money, ever. It's never about the money. It's like, I got to switch my job. Money's the result of your happiness. And so when we realize that, oh, if you love your job, you love your boss, you love the people you work with, guess what? You're getting bonuses, pay raise, and promotions because you love it. If you don't love it and your boss is an asshole and you can't get out of bed practically to get there, guess what? You're not getting pay raises or you're getting cost of living. There are no bonuses. And you've been waiting a long time for that job function promotion. right? Or you got the promotion and they're not paying you for it, right? So I see that a lot with women. And it's important, right? It's important on this journey that you start to realize going, well, what's the new dream? Like, you may not know how you get there. And this is, I think, the most challenging for people in picturing the life you want to create, because you can't see how you get there, but that's what you got to turn over to the universe to actually surprise you, right? Yeah. Going, okay, I'm intending that this is what I want to create in my life. So I'm just going to say, okay, I'm not really sure how it gets there, but this is what I want. Okay. And then when you accept reality, that's about creating emotional space. Because I can tell you that when people actually open the envelopes of their debts or their lack of retirement money or how little they have saved for their kids' college funds, emotions trigger. And when people don't want to face those things, they don't open the envelopes. And then I ask them, like, well, how much money do you have in debt? And then they tell me the number. And then I ask them, can you send me the statements of each of your accounts? Nobody's numbers ever match, ever.
Interesting.
Ever.
Is it because they're in denial, or they just
stick their head in the sand? Hmm. But so we convince ourselves of what it is, but that's not necessarily reality. So my job is, and the second step is, let's get financially naked. And then it makes people laugh when I say that, because nobody ever thinks of being financially naked, because you got to bring levity to your money stuff, right? Like, we feel like it's a ton of bricks, like there, it's this burden. No way. When you're working with me, it's financial fun time all the time, no matter what, because it can be. It doesn't have to be this daunting, heavy weight, right? And so in accepting that reality, we put it to paper, go, here's reality, okay? I don't care what reality is. We just need to know what it is. Then we wake you back up going, who are you? What do you dream of? And how do, you know, what was that little girl, little boy? Let's get aligned with your authentic self again. And then oftentimes when I'm asking those questions with people, I get behaviors like this. Or they turn their bodies because they're trying to protect their heart. Because on some level, even subconsciously, they know they've ignored their heart for a very long time.
So what kind of questions do you ask to prompt that awakening?
So usually I'm watching body language, particularly if I have spouses in front of me. Like, one spouse is so much more willing to say it than the person who it's really about. So sometimes I'll say, like, if I were sitting here with all your girlfriends or your guy friends, what would they say about you? Who are you authentically? And like, oh, I used to be. A lot of people talk about how they used to be.
Interesting.
And who they used to be is usually more authentic than who they are today.
Hmm.
And so I just start digging in terms of whatever their answers are. I just like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, tell me more. Because when I don't ask pivoted questions and I leave it open, that allows that authenticity to come to the surface, right? Because I don't know what's going to come out of their mouth. And why do I want to guide it or structure it? I want to be more like, well, what do you think about what he just said? And then he goes, and then usually the other spouse is like, oh God, because you know, the spouse knows the dirty laundry, right? And so, but I intentionally provoke that so that we can then, that creates more emotional space by just saying, here I am, the good, bad, and the ugly. And here it is, right? And so that leads us to then choosing to change. Like,
well, sorry, one more quick question. So if someone's just listening to this podcast and they want to go through these steps on their own and just kind of, you know, just to try it out after listening, like, how does someone trigger that in themselves? Right? How do they get, like, totally, they're totally naked. They come to terms. They're like looking at all their bills and bank accounts. And then, like, how do they get back to awaken?
So it's just about continuing to go, well, is this making me happy or is this not making me happy? And certainly I have worksheets with this stuff on my website that I give away for free of questions that provoke yourself. I also have a workbook that goes with my second book, Awaken Your Wealth. All it is brainstorming questions to provoke this out of you.
Amazing. Okay, cool.
And you can get all that on Amazon. Yep. Cool. Yeah. Well, and you can go to Amazon. To me, it's just about getting it out to the world. Like, and my book, Awaken Your Wealth, walks you through all this stuff. I took the process. I work with people one-on-one, and I put it all throughout my entire book, Awaken Your Wealth. And so the questions to awaken yourself, a lot of times when you were a little girl, little boy, what did you dream of? And what happened to that dream? And there's always a storyline that goes along with it. Like life happened, life pivoted. Like, is that still something that's important to you? Because it may or may not be, right? Most of the time, even if they say that it's not, usually over time, it gets right back there. And so it's just going, when you had less responsibilities, less history, who were you? Like what? Because when I think back of when I was a 22-year-old financial planner full of a lot of piss and vinegar, like I jumped off ledges all the time. I was an adventurer. I would take risks. But now I have employees to support and all their families. I have two kids of my own and two stepdaughters. Like I have a lot of responsibilities, aging parents, right? It's funny how as we age, we stop being adventurous. Mm-hmm. Like if money didn't matter, here's a good question. Money didn't matter, what would you be doing today?
I love that question.
Ugh.
Question.
Because you got to get doing it even though money is a part of it. And then how do we structure your financials to support that?
Okay.
And that's how this, if I could just say, that's why the subtitle of my first book is Building Your Wealth from the Inside Out. Because who you are authentically inside of yourself, we have to have all of your money structure to support that and that only, because that gives you sustainable real wealth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm trying to think of how I was going to just phrase that question. I kind of lost it a little bit. If you have someone who's like, okay, I know what my dream is. I'm just having like, I've started this business, but there's nothing coming in yet. Like, how do you help that person?
Yeah. So it's about going back into like, well, where's the block? What are the patterns that you're seeing? Mm-hmm. And then continuing to push the envelope on personal growth to see like, it's your energy that's blocking it. So my guess, 9 times out of 10, it's there is somewhere you're not showing up in your life with extreme self-love and self-care. And that's why it's not growing. Because you're still giving it to others more than you're giving it to yourself. And you're negotiating yourself away somehow. And that's why it's not opening up.
Interesting.
And so do things. So one of my assignments I would give people is, what are you doing to open up your energy field? Because most times it's not conscious. So I have what I call my esoteric strategic alliances, which are people like Panache Desai or other energy healers to open up people's energy fields. Also another, you know, have you ever worked with shamans and done plant medicine? That opens up your energy field big time. You know, so if you really are stuck, you know, depending on how open a person is to doing what kind of work, there could be meditations that you listen to every single night to binary beats that can open up your energy field. There's many different ways to do it. And the one that resonates with you the most is the one usually, because I'm going to kick the can and ask you which ones, but those are all ways to affect your energy field. Acupuncture can help you open up your energy field, right? It's just about like, who would have thought that you have acupuncture points on your body that actually are to align you with your soul and get rid of everything else? And when they put that needle in that part of your body, you're going, whoa, like that hurt like crazy. And you're like going, I had no idea I was blocked there, but that's what's blocking your business because you're not fully aligned with your soul. And people look at me going, it's that easy? I'm like, uh-huh. Because it's all about your energy field. It's all about what frequency you're putting out there and where's the block. And there's lots of
practitioners. When you say you're not fully aligned with your soul, do you mean that you have this dream, but there's like some part of you that has like doubt or some part of you that's like holding back?
Yeah. Or limiting belief patterns that are generational for 6 generations on your dad's side of your family or whatever. And you don't even know what those are, you know, but as you start to do the energy work. So for example, let me give you an example. So after my divorce, I had, and I've accomplished a lot in my life. Like I could retire today and be fine the rest of my life, but I'm on my soul's journey and I want to get the highest timeline in this lifetime. That's my goal, right? And so I found myself in Costa Rica working with the shamans, and I was doing ayahuasca. And all of a sudden, I started doing my own clearing. But then after a couple of years and working with the shamans a few times, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm here on the planet to clear the lineage for my entire female ancestral pattern. And then I experienced clearing all of that. And what's fascinating to me about that kind of work, and how does it tie to your money? Well, here I was stepping more and more into my empowerment with my ex-husband and everything. Well, as I'm doing all this clearing, then my sisters are all starting to have problems with their husbands because they're in the same patterning that our mother taught us. So here I'm doing the clearing, and then my sisters are having an impact. Wow. Because you're doing generational clearing. Like, we don't realize that this is all correlated. And then after that, my sisters were getting pay raises and financial support from their spouses more. Like, it was amazing on how it opened up all their fields. But here I was doing the work for our female lineage. Kind of crazy.
Very cool. Okay, so let's go back to the pact. So choosing to change is the next one. Talk to me about that.
So choosing to change is really the empowerment piece that we were talking about earlier. It's like you're really going to start to choose like different words coming out of your mouth, different thoughts that go through your head, and doing the things that are going to support that in your taking action steps. Like you're going, okay, I'm going to actually commit to this. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm going to commit to it, because it's really choosing and committing to doing it and getting it done. And that means you may change the kind of friends that you have. Like, if you have friends that all like to go out and spend money a bunch and you guys laugh about all your credit card debt, guess what? Unless you want to stay there, you need a new set of friends.
Right.
Because you are the company you keep. The same is true with the companies that we work for. I realized in the downturn of 2008 and 2009 that when General Motors declared bankruptcy, I was like, oh, I have a few senior managers and VPs of my clients that work for General Motors, and they were all personally, fiscally just as screwed up as the company was that needed to be bailed out by the federal government.
Interesting.
Because you are the company you keep, whether it's friends, coworkers, because they handled the company financials the same way they handled their personal financials.
Yeah.
I've helped this one small business owner when I first started working with her. I go, you are only as strong as your weakest link in an employee. And you have some employees here, because I would sit down with all the employees and try to help them individually. I said, they're fiscally drowning in debt. So until they can either grow with you and get out of that debt, or they're going to keep coming back to you for raises and bonuses to fix their spending problems. Like, we don't understand that this energy is really connected. So we have to realize, this business owner, I've worked with her for 15 years now, and now she has everyone who's fiscally prudent. Their cash flows are personally empowered. They're actually shifting more from being accumulators, meaning income affluent, to they're all becoming asset affluent and independent. So she's now got people who are more entrepreneurial minded, and her company is soaring because of all the employees underneath. So we have to realize that if we want it to be different, and it may even be cutting off family members, like sometimes hard to do, and it may not be permanent. It may just be for a time period for you to build that muscle, to stop doing that behavior. Right?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Because like their energy field affects yours too, right? Like
100%.
Yeah. We were talking about the heart expanding out so far. Okay, so taking action. I love that stuff. But talk to me a little bit about that in terms of how you work with people.
So every financial planner in this country takes action. The problem is, in my opinion, they're missing the first three steps beforehand. Mm-hmm. Because you're taking action on things that are outside of people's authenticity, than actually taking action on things that support exactly who you are and why you're on the planet and the work that is unique to you that you are to give to the world. Because we all have that. And yeah. So this taking action piece is, like I had said earlier, cleaning up your financial past while living in the present moment and planning for the future all at the same time. And your future is broken down into short-term goals, mid-term goals, and long-term goals. And so in essence, everybody has six buckets in the process that I walk people through. And I want you hitting all of those cylinders all the time. And as you get pay raises, we address all six. As you get bonuses, we address all six. Playing off your past while living in the present moment. So your past is your debts. Your cash flows are living in the present moment. And then your future breaks down into short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals.
Okay, so that's got it.
Yeah. So it's about, so let me give you a practical example. So you get a pay raise. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier. So you get a pay raise and you have a typical thing that I would see is you've got car debt, you've got mortgage debt, and maybe or maybe not, you're out of your student loan debt and maybe you carry over credit cards. So your debts, I had one of the worksheets, and people can go to my website too and get one of these worksheets to organize your debts and say, which is the highest interest rate that I pay out? And so when I get that pay raise and I have an extra $100 a month put towards debt, you add it to the one that has the highest interest rate. So you've organized it and you now have an increase in awareness as to where's the most efficient place for you to go. Then if you have another $100 in the present moment, well, what are those spending goals that you have that are more important to you? So like I was with a client yesterday and they had all kinds of spending goals. They had vacation, they had their kids' high school private tuition, they had house maintenance. You know, like I tell people all the time, like, well, your furnace is going to break someday, your roof's going to need to be repaired, and your hot water tank's going to go. Like all those things we know, but very few people have a savings account that says house maintenance to plan for those things that we all know that are going to come.
Yeah, that's so
but
smart.
If you put $300 a month in a house maintenance bucket that you don't touch with anything else, over 20 years, you can pay for the roof, your new refrigerator, new furnace, new air conditioner, new dishwasher, new hot water tank, new windows. You can pay for all those things in your house by putting $300 a month. Now, this client, when they became a client a year and a half ago, they could only allocate $155 a month to the house maintenance fund because that's all they cash flow wise had. I'm going, okay, but the goal is that if something happens between now and then and something needs to be repaired or replaced, you hopefully have enough for it. But if not, then some of it'll be from your savings account and some of it'll be debt focused. But the key is to get out of the debt cycle, right? So with this pay raise that they got this year, we were able to get that house maintenance fund up to the 300. So now they're at the level that they'll be fine moving forward as things change, because we're trying to change that habitual patterning of spending money on debt, that everyone is this close to like getting trapped in the debt cycle permanently. And we don't realize that that's financial jail. And then the powers that be control your life because you're choosing to play in the debt system. Right?
Yeah.
And the same is true for cars, right? This is how you start to get your freedom. So that taking action then is supporting you to have financial freedom is really what that is doing. And again, who cares if you can't fully do it when you first get started? You can only do something with what you have today. It's the only reality you have. So just be proactive with what you have to start to shift it so you can manifest more. And then that other $100 goes into your future bucket, and then that gets broken down into short-term emergency reserves, maybe your kid's college fund or other investments, and then retirement money. Every human on the planet has those buckets.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And having like separate accounts for everything is such a smart idea because it's like there in front of your face, right?
You're
like,
well, and here's the piece. It funds your intentions. So you're energizing your intentions. If you're intending that you want a different financial reality and you want to stop using credit cards or you don't want to have another car loan or you want to be financially free, well, then you have these buckets that are set up for those intentions. And then you're empowered.
So I love all of this. And I think a lot of people are going to find it really helpful and relate to it. We've kind of focused a lot on for the examples of people who are working for other people. So let's talk about entrepreneurs a little bit, because, you know, I have my own company. My husband literally just left his job to like work on his side hustle full time.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I'm trying to like apply our situation mm-hmm. to yours and just so many other people I know, because I'm part of all of these communities,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And masterminds. So when someone's starting their own company and there's not a lot of that income in, and they have that vision, that goal, but they don't have it to put into these buckets, like how does someone like in that position, like what's your advice, I guess?
So you have two sets of buckets. You have your personal buckets and then you have your business buckets, right? Because you have business debts and personal debts, right? So that's number one. You want to make sure you're setting up two sets. Mm-hmm. The other piece is that maybe early on you do it on percentages as opposed to dollars. So for an example, let's say revenue comes in the door. Let's just say it's $5,000 for the revenue that comes in the door, right? So if you've intended that you want to, so one of the first steps is people usually to make sure you don't go back to your patterning and go in feast or famine, is that you want to start to fund a payroll bucket. One of the buckets that you're going to want on your business side is a payroll bucket. But people usually go, the 5,000 is in, so let me like fix the stuff that's backed up. And then they try to catch up. And I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. No, if we know that you personally, so can we use your husband as an example?
Sure.
Like what amount of his regular paycheck went to paying the bills in your house? Like even if you say, if your expenses are $8,000 a month, it's $8,000 a month came from his salary to pay your household. Yeah. Okay. Just using that as an example.
Sure.
Okay. Well then if that's what supported you, then we want his side hustle to somehow spit your personal checking account $8,000 a month.
Right.
Right. And so if as the revenues come in, you sit there and you create a payroll checking account on the business side that will grow as checks come in on his side hustle, and you spit yourself out $8,000 a month. Now, when you get 6 months in reserves of at that 8,000, then you turn around and say, oh, maybe I can give myself a pay raise now. Now I can take 9,000 a month. And then intentionally with that extra 1,000, you then go, well, what are my personal goals? Like, do I want to buy another car or am I doing that through the business? Or do we want to pay our house down faster? Or do we want to put more money in retirement? So then you intentionally then apply. But the biggest thing I see with business owners is that they don't set up a separate payroll checking or savings account. And they do feast or famine where they let it build up in the business and then they're taking like $30,000 out of the business in one chunk and then covering all the bases. That creates feast and famine. And so business owners need to systematize their cash flows and have a checking account for regular expenses, but then also a checking account for payroll. And then you pay yourself a paycheck. And that paycheck early on may not be able to be the full 8,000 that he was paying when he had a regular job. But even if it's just consistently like 1,000 a month until cash flows get ramped up and you're living off savings while you transition, but the goal is to get that up to that 8,000 as the cash flows improve on the side hustle. Yeah. And then what you're doing is you're stabilizing yourself and you're creating a really strong foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So is there anything else you want to say that we didn't touch on today, like a message you want to get out there for people?
I think it's really about the fact that you need to love yourself. People today do not love themselves as much as they should. And it's not about being selfish. It's about going, oh, I'm going to do extreme self-love and self-care because I matter. And most people on the planet, they feel like they're not worthy. They don't feel like they're enough and they don't feel like they're loved. And you are worthy of all of that stuff. Every single one of you. And this is a way and a step that you can take to get yourself there. And you don't have to apologize for it.
You are wonderful. I feel like I've just been like taking mental notes the whole time. And I love that you're so aligned with like The Secret and Dr. Joe Dispenza and all of these things. And it's so refreshing to have someone with like a similar background putting it into a different context. Because it's just like, oh yeah, I know that. I know that. Right. I know that. Like, oh yeah, you apply it this way. So it's really great. And I'm sure listeners really appreciated it as well because they've, you know, heard a lot about these concepts before, but not so much applied to money because I don't usually talk about the money piece as much. I talk a lot about relationships and health and just peace of mind. So I appreciate you so much.
Yeah,
I'm awesome. Sure people want to know where they find you, how to connect with you, where to get
Absolutely. Your book. Yeah. I mean, come to juliemurphy.com. And we've got all kinds of stuff. I have free workshops. I have discovery calls. I do group coaching. I walk people through the PACT process over a 6-week course, and you get me live twice a week. And it's just about finding your community and your people to help you get to the next step. Because that's what motivates me, because I'm doing this because I have 29 years of experience being a financial planner. I don't need to do this, but the world needs it. And I know I'm here to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was like, wow, you're like spending so much time on people. That's incredible. And just something you touched on earlier that I just want to like reiterate for people. Like when I asked you what questions you would ask, you're like, oh, I walk people through this whole thing in my book. It's like, books are such gold because it's someone's like life experience condensed down to like 200 pages.
Yep.
Like go read a book. Seriously, everyone. Like go read some books because they're just gold. And you know, go read Julie's book as well. So thank you so much, Julie. Again, I really appreciate your time. You've been so wonderful and so insightful, and I just love your energy. I could just feel it thank through you. The screen. So yeah, thank you. And
you're welcome.
If you're listening, please send this to someone you think would resonate with it. Like, comment, share, subscribe, all the things. Let's help each other lift humanity up.
Absolutely.
Have a beautiful rest of your day, everyone.